feeling the Lord leading me to preach on for a while. But as you know, He lays on your heart what He wants you to preach. And I believe that. I didn't understand it until I was able to, fortunate enough to be able to fill the pulpit from time to time. When a pastor tells you that he lays a scripture on your heart, it's very true. It is one of the truths in life that I didn't know until I did this, or have been fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to do. You can see the grapevine that I cut from my house this morning. And I felt like if I cut it yesterday, the leaves would probably be more wilty. And they probably are a little bit now. But they are because, and they will become, because they're cut from the vine. Or from actually, they're cut from the main source of their nutrient. And these are actually real grapes right here. These are going to be, I think, white grapes. These are not real. I did a little improvisation. These were down here and this in here. So, and no, it's not a mixed vine. However, that is possible. As we know, there are hybrids. But I wanted just for illustration to show you all, you know, just for illustration to make it look nice. But anyway, just bear with me. I always like to have my Bible open to the scripture so we can refer back to it. This morning I wanted to talk about, from a very early age, I've always enjoyed gardening. I enjoy tilling the soil. I actually didn't get to till the soil very much when I was young because my dad did that, and I came to realize that there were a lot of things that I had to do that he probably did as a young child, like weeding, that I had to do. Weeding was not my favorite thing to do, and Mom can probably attest to that. But I always like to follow behind Dad with the tiller, and every once in a while, and I remember my own sons have done this, they get to hold on to the handle, just like you're doing it, but you're really not. You think you are, but you're really not. Well, kind of. So I've learned history has a way of repeating itself. And as I've had my own children and gardened, I've learned probably some of the things I probably have probably forgotten about, but I probably complained about too, is weeding and picking certain things that I didn't want to pick. Beans especially. The boys never like picking beans. But I found a method to do it that was easier. I always took a 5-gallon bucket when I did it and sat on the bucket and went down the row. Because, as you know, bending over is hard on your back. Well, needless to say, I love to garden. I love fresh vegetables, and they're hard to come by this time of year. Or actually, during the different times of year, they are easy to come by now because everything's coming off at the same time now. But it's rewarding to see fruit and vegetables come off the vine, especially when you've grown them. You've tended to them. You've tried to weed them. I can't say I've always had the perfect garden. Unlike some folks I've seen, just amazes me, some people's gardens. And to keep it watered, and I've noticed lately that it's time to water because it's becoming dry again. Well, one of the things that my dad taught me too was that you had to always keep the weeds out, because if you didn't, the weeds would hinder the growth of what you had, and it would cause a problem with the yield that you would may have. You know, I talk about Dad, and you know, I wish he was here to hear this, but he isn't. But he would say to me, "You're too young to use the tiller." And I didn't understand that. I really didn't, because I knew that it was a cool thing to do. You always want to do emulate what your family does, what your parents do. And so I just stopped asking, and I did the best I could with the weeding. Not always probably agreeing to do it, but I did it. One of the things I did learn, as I became a dad, I learned that there are moving parts on a tiller, and you don't want your child to get hurt. And I think that's what Dad was thinking. He didn't want my feet to get hung up underneath the tiller. And you know what can happen with that. Well, I've also been blessed to have a mom and a father-in-law to ask about planting and pruning. Their experience with shrubbery and trees and ornamentals have been great help to me as I've learned to do these things. And I enjoy hearing Mom talk about her flowers and the things that she grows and the joy she gets from them. And Clarence, he's been a farmer and a nurseryman for his entire life, and he's here today, and I wanted him to hear this. He's provided me with tried and true methods of growing plants. And I've often asked him things I didn't understand about it, and so I can learn from it, and I still have ways to go. But it always helps to ask and go to people that have the knowledge and understanding. It's just like being a Christian. We can feel like we can go to others that have wisdom and knowledge that we don't have and go to them and ask them the questions about life and about application of the Bible to us. That's what God intended for us to do. We are fortunate to live in a place that is so beautiful and has soil that's so rich. I know when my cousins come here, they say they live in Kentucky, and I've often heard Mark say, the soil here is so nice. There they have to contend with rocks, and it's a certain kind of rocks that just kind of come up out of the ground, and they're just really big, and they have to farm around them. So I often have asked them how they deal with that, and they said they just do the best they can. They know where they are. But one of my favorite quotes about the shore is actually comes from John Smith. And if y'all don't know this, I'm a lover of history. And this is one of my favorites that he says, or he said, heaven and earth never agreed better to frame a place for man's habitation. And even John Smith felt like this area was a great place to grow things. And things probably, I can imagine what he saw when he came here is probably like a jungle. I'm sure that the lands were covered with trees and vines and different things. And I'm sure it was just a wonderful place to be. And as it is now. It's also, the Eastern Shore has been compared to the Garden of Eden. I guess from its beauty. We'll assume that's what's meant by. In today's scripture, though, we find how Jesus describes the kind of life transformation we can have with the Holy Spirit which lives within us. I want you to take yourself to a place right now how scripture may have played out. How the scripture in chapter 15, and Jesus, as he talks to the disciples as they have dinner, he is preparing them for this crucifixion and life after this life. And prior to this passage, they had made their way to an area of the Mount of Olives, or near the Mount of Olives at the Garden of Gethsemane. They came upon a grape arbor, and Jesus takes the opportunity to masterfully teach about the vine and the branches to the disciples. And in those days, the grapevine was a very important symbol and crop. And you'll see in a lot of, I guess, historical applications, drawings, you'll see a lot of pictures of the grapevine and the grapes. And there's no mistake about that. That was an important crop for them. It was very symbolic of their lives. It sustained them. They used it for all kinds of different things. You know, a grapevine, many of you know, if you dry a grapevine out, it can be used for making things. And those of you that are into arts and crafts know that. And it's very strong. We may not understand the concept of pruning or fruit, cutting off the branches or pruning. But I wanted to explain to you this morning, I did somewhat of that, even before it was time, though. I cut this vine with the grapes on it that are not mature. Just to illustrate to you kind of what they did back then, that they didn't really cut the vine unless there was time to prune. Sometimes it was just time to cut the fruit. And they would cut the fruit and they would use it to make wine or whatever they need to make it with. But they knew that if they didn't cut it at the right time, the fruit would rot on the branches, and it would be no good to them. What is the fruit Jesus is talking about with the disciples? It is the obedience of Jesus' commandments, especially that we love one another. As you heard Rick read scripture this morning, the common theme is that we love one another. The word love is mentioned 508 times in the NIV Bible and actually 280 in the King James Version of the Bible. So as you can see, Love plays an integral role, a central role in the Bible. For without love, we have nothing. If we don't love one another, if we don't love God, we're in a world of misery, aren't we? I think that's one of the things that our communities and our nations lack sometimes. I think that we look to ourselves and not looking to others. We love ourselves more than we love one another. And it's a hard thing to say, but I believe it to be true. You know, when you're born to this world, you're born as a selfish being. That's a fact. But, you know, the neat thing about being a Christian is as you read Scripture, as you fellowship together with one another, you learn that love, God loved us first. So therefore, we have an obligation to love each other. And we were talking about this morning in Sunday school, you know, something particularly that bothers me. And I'll just say it because it's appropriate, because you can't have love when things get in the way of it. When we have qualms and disagreements with one another, it hinders the actual true love we can have for each other. And I pray that in this church that we will try to be about making peace with one another, and so we can grow in our own spiritual lives. And that my sermon today will get into that a little bit. We're going to talk about that as well later. And you're going to understand what God meant by that. Scripture tells us we should bear fruit by loving one another. And fruitful living is also illustrated in Galatians 5:22, where Paul contrasts the fruit of the Spirit along with sinful man. They are inward feelings and state of being that have outward results. These fruits are actions, as illustrated in Titus 3:14, which I'm going to read real quick. Titus 3:14 says this: "Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives." So we must live productive lives. We must learn to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 and also states, and it leads us to the point of the condition of our heart determines whether right action occurs. You see, the heart is a vital organ to us to live. But in the Christian sense, living as a Christian in this world, the heart, condition of the heart also determines what kind of person we are. Sure, we have failings. And we're quick to point others out, but do we often look at our own? Do we? Do we look at our own? Do we do introspective looks and within our heart? Do we seek the things that within us that we need to improve upon? I know you turn the TV on, and I have to bring it up because it's appropriate in this sense. Look at our political system, and I'm not going to dwell on it, but look at all of the wrangling that goes on with them. No one ever accepts responsibility for their actions, and they're not accountable. We are. We have to be accountable. If we didn't pay our bills, where would we be? We're accountable for many reasons. We're accountable especially because we're Christians, because God called us to be His witness, to be about His work, to find the people of this world that do not know Him and need to know Him. You know, action takes a lot of courage sometimes when we step out on faith to do something that we are not used to doing. I never dreamed that I'd be standing here in front of you, but it's not me. I'll never tell you it is. It's God within me. But I've lived my life long enough to tell you that I've missed opportunities, but I don't want to miss them anymore because I need to know the Lord in a greater way, and therefore I want you to know Him too. Through me and through you, it's like a hand in hand. We work hand in hand as Christians. That's how it works. We should live our lives with a yes attitude. And this is going to be coming up soon. I'm putting a little plug in for the pastor because he's not here. He's going to be asking you to do some things, and your deacons, and we need to have a yes attitude about it. Don't let the devil get in there and say, you're not capable of doing it. It might not be exactly what you need to do. If you're not sure, pray about it. Don't be quick to say no. Pray about it. Encourage one another. If you have a brother or sister come to you and say, you know, I'd like to do this within the church, be an encouragement to them. Give them an opportunity to do the work. We're few in number at times, and we need everybody's help. But, you know, our faith can be strong if it is. It's often what happens behind closed doors with our faith that determines what happens outside of those doors. And when we're about studying and learning the scripture and, you know, trying to come to an understanding about what it means to us, it's an individual walk, but it's also a global application, isn't it? It's not just an individual application, it's a global application. And we see evidence of that, that we, this week, the young children gave their money. And I thought it was sweet. The last night, Caleb and I counted all the pennies. And I know Angelique says she worked at a bank, and but you all had counters back then. No counters, okay. Two fingers, okay, or two hands. Well, I just thought it was sweet that they robbed their little piggy banks and they brought their money to help other people in the world they have never seen. They don't even know. That's the love of Jesus. It is. It's in its true form. That's the love of Jesus. Some people might say, well, it needs to be here. Why don't we just apply it to our own area? Well, we have plenty. May need a little bit, but those people have nothing. The Ten Commandments we talked about this week as well. But remember, there is in the Ten Commandments, it talks about thou shalt not. Well, the Ten Commandments says that, but there are also a lot of thou shalt, which we are to strive toward. We should not covet. That was something we talked about this week. We should acknowledge God's blessings of what he's given us. You know, he's richly bestowed so much upon us, Father, that we just need to use for his glory. So let's get on to the cutting off of branches. I cut one this morning. At first, I was going to cut a branch off of a pecan tree, and I said, no, the grapes are so much better illustration because of what we're talking about today. I was actually going to bring both. But there are no nuts on the tree this year. 2 years ago, my tree was so loaded, the limbs were breaking in the middle of the summer. It was a very eerie thing. But I see there's fruit on the vine. And Jesus says he is the vine or the source of spiritual nutrients. As earthly plants must tap into the root to live through good soil, light, and water, a grower in the vineyard must ensure that new branches are not on the ground. This is something that's interesting. They must tie them up off the ground to promote growth that maximizes the amount of fruit on the vine. And tomato plants are the same. I found that to be true from tried and true methods, or actually lack of doing them. Tomato plants must be staked, they must be tied, because the fruit will lay on the ground, won't it? Those of you that know. And a rotten tomato is not good to eat, is it? There's nothing better than going to pick that fruit and enjoying it. When branches in the vineyard are not tended and remain on the ground, they become mildewed and useless. And tomato plants are not staked and their fruit rests on the ground, it's useless as well. We can't use those things. And all the efforts that we've made are all for naught. The point is the branches must be free of disease and supported for a great harvest. Our lives are similar in that when we are not supported by the Holy Spirit and covered with sin, our lives do not produce fruit of eternal quality and quantity. You may feel your life has not been bearing fruit. Or maybe you don't have the joy or peace you had hoped for the stage of your life. Because the past is the past, isn't it? Today is a new day. Maybe Jesus is not the love of your life like he once was, and you know he wants us to experience the joy, the peace, and love that he meant for us. I talked about Galatians 5:22 through 23, and it embodies this point as Paul points out to the people, the church of Galatia. As he states, but The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a lot of things, a lot of descriptors, isn't it? But you know, those are action words, aren't they? They require action. We don't just get joy, we have to find joy. We don't just get peace, we have to bring peace, don't we? Patience is a hard one, isn't it? Often it takes many years for a vine or branch to produce fruit. Comparatively, it may take time for us to bear spiritual fruit. I ask you and I pray that you would continue in your quest to allow the fruit of the Spirit to produce a good work in you, each one of you, because you are capable. And I know many of you struggle now at this point in your life. What does the Lord have for me? Don't give up. God has so much in store for us. He gives us each day when the sun rises in the morning. It's the promise of a new day with Him. And Philippians 1:6 says this, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." And Jesus is not done with us. The world might be. The world may say that in its own way. But no matter where you may be in your spiritual life, know that God loves you and He has a purpose for you. So what about the pruning branches that will bear fruit? Well, I've learned a lot about the earthly and spiritual applications of this. Pruning trees and bushes at the right time direct growth energy towards the root that in turn allows a greater harvest in the branches. That's a concept I didn't know. You learn these things as you go along. Many rose bushes that we buy are grafted with another to produce a hardy root. And this is done so it becomes a greater quality that will produce strong rose stock, greater blooms, plants that are more hardy that can grow in varying conditions. Well, I'd like to compare this to us, in that if we are saved, we are grafted with the Holy Spirit, which produces a hardy Christian that can stand up in varying growing conditions. Isn't that kind of neat? I thought it was, because when we're not grafted with the Holy Spirit, we can't stand strong. We are left to the wolves, a world that is dark and difficult. But we don't have to be that way. When we call upon the name of the Lord and we are grafted with the Holy Spirit, when we reflect upon our salvation, we know that we can have that strength, the roots that continue to hold us strong. The nourishment comes from the Word. As we read the Word each day, we are nourished in the Word. We are nourished in the Spirit. Are you starting to understand or see what I'm getting at? Or what Scripture is getting at? Sometimes pruning is painful. God may be wanting to let us to let go of something that we don't want to let go of. It's not fruitful. He may allow us to suffer for a while to move on to bearing fruit. You know, parenting is sort of like that. Parenting, sometimes we have to allow our children to make hard choices. With guidance, that's painful. You know, being a parent is not easy. And I know that a lot of times people say it's the parenting of someone is reflective of the actions of their children. Well, I tell you, that is not always the case. Sometimes people make choices without their own understanding, without learning what the right thing is to do. They know the right thing, but they choose. We all make choices. It is also hard to surrender our human tendencies of holding grudges, not owning mistakes, and being the authority all the time on many things. Have you ever known someone like that? You don't get it word in edgewise, do you? They finish your sentences. I have somebody that does that in my life. Somebody no one in here really knows. But I'll be talking about a topping. My sentences are finished for me. Wow, that's a tough one for me. And it's hard to witness to like that as well. If we can allow those branches to be cut, we may realize spiritual growth for ourselves and others. Our level of commitment to our faith, family, and fellowship with others determines how full our spiritual fruit basket is. Is yours brimming to overflowing today? Well, life sometimes has a way of getting the best of us, and we allow it on many occasions. Sometimes we often allow circumstances and people to define who we are. Anything short of bearing eternal spiritual fruit does not magnify our Lord, and it hinders others who are seeking God. We must identify those things that are stunting our spiritual growth. We must then allow God to remove them from us, thus allowing a more bountiful harvest. If so, our lives and the lives of others will certainly enjoy a more abundant crop. This message today was very... It gave me an opportunity to look at my own self and to know that the prunings that I've had. Sometimes, you know, when you prune at the wrong time. Anybody ever done that and the plant didn't make it? Well, pruning, there's a season for all things. And we come to understand life as we experience life. And the mistakes that we make, maybe the pruning the bush at the wrong time killed that wonderful $25 or $30 bush that you bought from Thomas's Gardens or who knows where you got it. And you're like, boy, I messed that one up. But you still got another opportunity. I remember Bob Smoot one time in a sermon, he talked about a bush that he planted and he didn't understand why it wasn't growing. And it died, and he had watered it, and he had taken care of it, and pruned it, or whatever he had to do. And he dug it up, and he found that he had not taken the burlap off from around the root. And he had just thought he could leave it there, and it would be okay, and it wasn't. It didn't live. So as you know, you got to take, even though you have the pruning of your branches from time to time, we need this pruning to grow and to bear fruit that will be lasting. But you also got to take care of your root. And your root is where the nourishment comes up to give you fruit through the branches. So be mindful of your root. Strengthen your root by your faith, your fellowship, and your love of God. And if I can ever be an encouragement to you, please call on me. I would love to minister to y'all in another way. If you ever need me for anything, please call on me. I love you all. I love this church. I grew up here. I've seen people come and go. Some people are not here anymore because they've gone on to be with the Lord. But it's a good church. It's a wonderful church. And no matter how many come, we know that we are in the midst of God. And numbers don't really prove the success of a ministry. I know that some people may say that. It's the heart of the people. And if 10 of us are going out ministering to the people in this community and the world, and 100 aren't, where's the growth? Because that's where the fruits are. The fruits are with the people that are ministering to the hearts and the needs of our community. And as I said, a pastor's ears are probably burning today. The church is going to be calling on you. I hope you're ready to step out on faith and help share some of the bounty that you've been provided. And I pray that you'll think about that as our church, we transition into more witnessing in the community and different things to try to reach the people in this area that need to be here. You know, these are things we need to talk about. And today's lesson, or today's sermon, really speaks to that. That our condition is going to affect the condition of the people around us. So we need to have ourselves in such a manner that there's encouragement to others, and we're not going to stunt the growth of other people. So I want to encourage you today, if the sermon has spoken to your heart, if you feel a level of commitment that you need to make to this church, a greater commitment, I ask you to come forward and talk to me, and we'll pray about it. And also would pray that you would keep your commitments that you already have, and that you would consider others as our church grows. So right now, I guess we'll transition into our hymn of response is "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place," hymn number 412. Please stand as we sing hymn number 412.